Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, in Acts chapter 15, a heated disagreement among the Christian believers in Antioch occurred. This dispute concerned how we are saved as God's people. So to solve this important issue, Paul and Barnabas were sent to discuss the matter with the church leaders in Jerusalem. In this way, the Jerusalem Council came into existence. This case in Acts 15 shows that disputes and disagreements are a reality even in the Spirit-filled church. The Bible does not hide the fact that the early Spirit-filled believers had a conflict. In fact, every important matter in our life can cause moments of disagreement. We can even say that something is not quite right if we do not have disputes about some important issues in our lives. Imagine if a couple has not had any disagreement about their children's education or well-being. Something is not quite right, is it? In the same way, you can have debates about church matters since the church is important to us. Nevertheless, as we can learn from Acts chapter 15, our approach to a conflict should be shaped by the fact that we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace. So this morning, I am preaching under the theme, Grace Overcomes Conflict. Grace Overcomes Conflict. First, we examine the main issue in the Jerusalem Council, and we will note that it was a matter of salvation. Are we saved by our works or by God's grace? Secondly, we will see the inevitable existence of a conflict shows why we need God's grace. Thirdly, we see that God's grace teaches us to focus on what God is doing in our life. And finally, we will examine the centrality of God's word in a conflict. So first, the main issue in Acts chapter 15. What was the main issue that needed to convene the first ecclesiastical meeting in Acts chapter 15? Why it was so important? The main issue is found in verse 1. So certain people came down from Judea, which means Jerusalem, to Antioch, and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And this was repeated in Jerusalem. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and be required to keep the law of Moses. Keep in mind that when it says the Gentiles, it refers to the Gentile Christian believers. According to the account in Acts, some early disciples who were not even the apostles went down from Jerusalem to Antioch and shared the gospel there. Consequently, a great number of the Gentiles came to the Lord. Now these Gentile believers were being told that they had to follow the Old Testament Jewish laws in order to be saved. The gravity of this issue can be seen in that it deals with our salvation. What is the foundation of our salvation? If or when the Lord asks you, "Why should I save you?" what would be your answer? The Gentiles became believers since they believed in the gospel message. They were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. Yet, this was not good enough for some of the Jewish believers. The Gentile believers are taught to do something for their salvation. Hence, for these Jewish believers, salvation should be completed by what we do. And it is a common, serious mistake many Christians make. Sometimes we think that God loves us because we did something good for him. Of course, we do not deny that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Nevertheless, we think we need to complete God's salvation by what we do, as if God's salvation in Jesus Christ is not good enough. Hallelujah. We believe that we deserve to go to heaven since we have maintained a decent lifestyle, or we are morally good people. In such a way, we rely more on what we did and what we do than on what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Yet this is not the Christian gospel. God's gospel proclaims that we are not saved by our good works. We are saved by God's grace. Our complete salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins before we did anything worthy of it. We are saved not because we did something good. Salvation is a free gift of God. Hence, we call it grace. Since God gave his Holy Spirit to the Gentiles as at the Jerusalem Council, the Christian church made it clearly known that God's people are saved because of grace, a free gift of the Lord. Now we are going to see the existence of conflict shows why we need God's grace. As our text shows, it is possible that even the Spirit-filled believers can have moments of dispute. Our conflicts show that we are still suffering from our sinful nature. Perfection has not yet come. Hence, each and every member in the church is also suffering from a sinful nature. Consequently, we can have disputes. What Paul says about himself is also very applicable to us. "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." So while we recognize our sinful nature, we should also focus on God's redeeming work for us. Christ died for sinners like you and me, and he has given his Holy Spirit to dwell with us. Hence, the reformer Martin Luther correctly said that Christians are both saints and sinners simultaneously. We are sinners, yet forgiven. We are forgiven, yet sinners. Hallelujah. The Christian gospel teaches that not only are we saved by grace, but we also live by grace. Conflict teaches us that we should not rely on ourselves, but on God who has delivered us from the power of sin through Jesus Christ. In fact, the case at the Jerusalem church shows why we need God's grace. Friends, we are not able to do what is right with our own strength.
Hallelujah.
At the Jerusalem council, Peter, Paul, and Barnabas testified that God had accepted the Gentile believers. James subsequently provided biblical support for the inclusion of the Gentiles into God's kingdom. Nevertheless, it did not mean that the case was settled. As Paul's letter show, these Jewish believers, known as the Judaizers, continued to teach that the Gentile believers should be circumcised and maintain the customs of Moses. Of course, it is very easy for us to criticize them. Why did they so stubbornly refuse to accept God's will? Nevertheless, the refusal to change opinions and unwillingness to submit God's will is a human tendency that we can also demonstrate. We disobey God's will not because we did not know it. Quite often, we know it too well. Instead, we make excuses for why we cannot follow God's will. For these Jewish Christians, they had their own reasons why they could not accept the Gentile believers as they were. The Jews in those days were afraid of the sinful influence of the Gentiles. The Gentiles were known for their idolatry, greed, and sexual misconduct. Hence, the Jews kept away from the Gentiles in order to live as God's holy people. So Peter, in Acts chapter 10, shows the difficulty the many Jews had in dealing with the Gentiles. In a vision, in chapter 10, more than once, the Lord commanded Peter to eat unclean animals. Think about it. Won't you do what God commands you to do in a vision? I hope I do at once. But Peter refused to obey the Lord's command more than once. Surely not, Lord. Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. This repeated disobedience shows how difficult it was for the Jews to accept the Gentiles and their way of living. even before entering Cornelius' house, Peter, as a good Jew, but not that so kind guest, he said to the Cornelius' household, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew, it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. In such a way, even Peter had to learn what God had done for the Gentiles. Yet, it was a process and it was difficult. For other Jewish believers, it went against their belief and understanding that the Gentile believers, the Gentiles could be God's people without obeying the law of Moses. Hence, they chose their own understanding against the clear teaching from the apostles and the decision from the Jerusalem Council. The point is that we do not accept God's will even though we know it too well. We all know the biblical teaching to love our neighbors, to love our brothers and sisters. We also know Paul's warning concerning the danger of the conflicts in the churches. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Yet, how many Christian churches have been split because of the conflicts among the members? How easy it is to ignore the command to love our neighbors as when we are in dispute with other believers? In conflict, we stop examining our thoughts and actions against biblical teaching. Instead, we harden our hearts and forget everything what God has done for us and for our salvation. This is also, believers and friends, the reason why we need God's grace always. When we rely on our own wisdom, we become enslaved to our own sinful desires. Hence, we need God's continuing grace to rely on His wisdom given by His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, our text also teaches us what we should focus on in conflict. So, what do you focus on when you are in a conflict? In most cases, we focus on what others do and think and how that makes us feel. The problem is that when we are focused on our thoughts and the deeds of people, we fail to see our confidence and our righteousness is in Christ. God's grace teaches us that we should focus on what God has done and what He thinks of us. Remember, once again, we are saved by God's grace. It means in dealing with us, God does not focus on our foolishness and short-sightedness. Instead, when God looks at us, He looks at us through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Hence, we can rely on God's love despite our shortcomings. And this is one important message from the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. The Jewish believers focused on what the Gentile believers did. They were not circumcised. they did not keep the customs of Moses. Contrarily, Peter, Paul, and Barnabas focused on what God had done for the Gentile believers. Chapter 15, verse 6, Peter shared what God has done through him at the Cornelius' house for the Gentiles. He said, "Believers, brothers and sisters, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentile might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe." Paul and Barnabas also shared their ministry for the Gentiles. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. Please note again these God-centered speeches. God made a choice among you, and what God has done among the Gentiles. So when we focus on what God has done, if they had focused on what God had done, the Jewish believers could accept the Gentile believers as full-fledged members in God's church. In the same way, when we focus on what Christ has done for others, we can accept each other as Paul commands. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Now, we can also discern God's will through conflict. When we face a dispute, it takes humility and patience to discern God's will. It is tempting to get rid of the conflict situations as soon as possible. Who desires to have conflict? Nevertheless, the Jerusalem Council also teaches that there is and there are positive aspects of having disputes in the churches. The occasion of a conflict can be also an opportunity to discern God's will more clearly. Hence, when we encounter moments of dispute, we can use them to understand God's will better. In such a way, in fact, without the Jerusalem Council, the Christian churches would not have gained a better understanding about God's plan of salvation for the Gentiles. Through the council, we learn more clearly God's plan for the salvation of the Gentiles, and hence the believers were encouraged to spread the gospel to the end of the world, and as a result, as Gentiles, we have gathered here to worship the Lord. In discerning God's will, though, we should also keep in mind that God's word should be the final judge over our opinions. So at the end of the assembly, James gave a biblical meaning to what God has done through Peter, Paul, and Barnabas. Verse 13 says, James spoke up, "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon Peter has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words and the prophets are in agreement with this." Then James cites two verses from Amos 9, and here the point is that James makes it clear that what God has done among the Gentiles is promised in the Old Testament. And this case shows us what should be the final authority in a conflict. It is not an opinion from the Jewish believers that settles the matter. Even the experience of Peter, Paul, and Barnabas do not determine the case. It is only God's word that has the final authority over our thoughts and opinions. So, in accepting God's word as the final authority, God's grace also can teach us a few things. First, in conflict, friends, it is okay for us to be wrong. We are not saved, we are not loved less. We are not loved less by God since we hold wrong opinions. God hasn't shown his love even though we don't deserve it. Hence, we should be willing to acknowledge our wrong judgment and erroneous opinions. We should not harden our heart. Second, remember, God's love and God's grace is not dependent on your knowledge. In the same way, we are not more loved when we are right in a conflict. God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins when and while we were still sinners. Hence, when you can clearly see that you are right and other believers are in wrong, be patient with them. God has shown his patience when we were wrong. In the same way, we should be patient toward others. Congregation, may grace from God the Father and Jesus Christ continue to rule our actions and thoughts through the Holy Spirit, even in the moment of conflict. Amen.